That's great. Okay, well, I guess we got to do it, right? Got no choice. We can't go back from here. Probably not.
Gary Cooper at High Nine.
They found us. How do all these people get in my room anyway? I just don't understand it. It's probably a Google thing. Mom, Google's in my closet. Whoa, well, don't go in there. Don't go in there anymore. You'll be fine.
Don't do it.
That's funny. Don't do it. From the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com. Don't do it.
Is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
Well, thank you very much, Shirley, Joyce, Blanche, whatever your name is. It is the last Thursday of the month, so we take caution to the wind, throw it to the wind, and invite Richard Massey and Meridian Grace on the show. We took out our malpractice insurance. We upped it this morning, so we're in good shape. Call the FDA, tell them to be on alert just in case they say anything. So, you know, we're pretty covered. NSA, yeah. NSA, of course, listens to all the shows, so you have to speak slowly for these guys because they do a lot of drugs, you know. Okay, it's oh God, no wonder I stay in trouble, you know. June 29th, 2017, Meridian and Richard, good morning, you two little pumpkin pies. What's going on?
Hey, good morning. Yeah, my friend Greg is here fixing the Prius.
Really?
Yeah.
You're getting your Prius all worked up. Dr. Massey had a Prius that looked like it'd fall down and go boom in the back. And so he had tape holding this part of the car up. It was really kind of cool. So the guy, you got a part, you're going to get your whole trunk kind of thing revamped, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's pretty exciting.
I think so. We're doing that today, and it's a nice hot day here. How about where you are?
Well, I think it's going to be warm here. Yes. 98 right now, so it could be warm later.
First time I've seen Patrick in a tank top.
Yeah, boys. Yo. Got to tell you about the inside of Dr. Massey's Prius, which I've never really mentioned often. But
no, that's another story.
Should I do that, Marina? Do you think I should call him out on that?
You're embarrassing.
Let's do it. It's kind of embarrassing, but he's fun to kick around. There's a lot of stuff in there, you know, on the floor and stuff and in the back seat. And actually, I would recommend getting an antibiotic before you go in there because you're liable to do the MRSA thing. Well, so you're going to probably clean out your car now, too. That'll be good, right?
He's already doing it. He's amazing.
Yeah, well, yep. See? Yeah. So I'm really proud of you, Doc. Really proud.
It's like an angel that kind of flit around here, you know, and do these magical things.
Yeah. So what have you two kids been doing? I mean, hey, you know, could you talk amongst yourself? Because I have hot water going on, and I just remembered, and I'm going to do a cup of tea. And otherwise my pot will just melt, you know?
Yeah.
Very good.
Nothing worse than melted pot.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. We could talk about that. Would you guys just kind of talk amongst yourself, you know, and I'll be right back. Tell everybody what you've been doing in your life. All the good stuff. Okay. Okay. I'll be right back.
All right. So Meridian's got to take off too. So I'm going to sit here and carry it. Wish I had a good joke. Let's see. We could do the Forrest Gump joke from the near death group, but we won't. So lately, Meridian's had us listening to couples stuff. A guy named Stan Tatkin. We like him, T-A-T-K-I-N. And somebody named John Gottman. And we're going to a breathwork seminar tomorrow and Saturday with Greg Unterberger. He's one of the guys we met at the near-death group. And let's see, we've been keeping up. I've been listening to Recall Healing every day. Meridian is still listening to a lot of her webcast and podcast and doing lots of studying. We've been swimming in the creek more because it's nice and warm. And there's a green heron out there. And for whatever reason, it must have a nest nearby where we get in the water, because it shows up and it yelled at me the other day. If you look up green heron on the internet, you'll find out that this thing can scream like a human and make all kinds of sounds. So we're trying to make friends with the
green heron.
With the green heron, but look that up. It's not green. It's a scrawny looking brown thing. So anyway, we're working on getting along with the heron. A turtle crawled up for the first time I've ever seen it, crawled up from the creek to the back porch and laid her eggs right outside the back porch. And that was pretty interesting to see.
A number of years ago, we had hundreds of them come up. And we even invited the children that were part of our practice to come and visit, because it was just amazing. You had turtles everywhere laying eggs.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting to watch and see them. And then the red-shouldered hawks are still around. And let's see, I told them we were going to the breathwork thing. What were you going to say?
Oh, wow.
Were you going to talk about anything you've been studying lately?
Oh, goodness, Richard, that never ends. But one of the things that we've been doing that's a little different is that we have been looking into the work of two really brilliant psychotherapists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did.
Oh,
I told them about that. And y'all would enjoy that because they have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
So Patrick may want to get them on the show, actually.
Who's that?
Stan Tatkin, T-A-T-K-I-N.
Yeah. Right.
He's a couples guy, and
John Gottman.
And then the other guy is John Gottman, G-O-T-T-M-A-N.
Yeah. And his wife, Jenny.
Yeah. So this is pretty funny, Patrick, that these guys, John, like 40 or so years ago, started studying couples, and they got this nice bed and breakfast that overlooks a lake, and they joke about how relaxing it was for the couple to be studied. But they had heart monitors hooked up to them so they could watch to see when their heart sped up and slowed down and skipped beats. And if they had a spirited conversation, they had to give a urine sample and a blood draw.
Oh my God.
And they studied all this stuff, and it's pretty fascinating what they came up with. So I'll tell you, like, a couple of them, they talked about how if a person is not looking somebody right in the eye, whenever a spirited discussion begins, if a person is off to the side, they're viewed animalistically as a threat, and it's easier to escalate into a fight than if a person is sitting straight in front of the other person. The deal was never get into anything while you're driving the car with somebody sitting in the passenger seat, because the biological brain sees them as a threat. So only talk about pleasant things. And that would have been a neat tip when we were on family vacations for 12 hours in the car.
That's right.
You know, with Dad trying to get Mom to find something on the map, and she couldn't find it. And So
the couples knew this. They were being monitored.
Yeah, they knew this, and and they agreed to it. And so they looked at all the levels of stress hormones and things like that. And it's pretty fascinating. It all makes sense. And I got to see that Meridian's been wrong in most of her relationship styles. And, you know,
I've been trying to tell her that, but she doesn't listen to me.
It's pretty funny. He has the four horsemen that he talks about, which are, you know, kind of really harming to relationships. And I believe, is it 98%, Richard, or 92% or something? He has the ability to
they can predict if somebody's going to stay together or divorce. By certain little key things. Like one of them is you need at least five positive things said to your partner for every negative thing, at least 5-1. If you have less than that, you have like a 90% chance that you're going to split. and so, you know, it's just, and they have little practical things people can do. So that's kind of a big deal that's going on.
Did you guys go to that? It was in Austin, I think.
This one that we're going to tomorrow is in Austin.
Greg Utterberger.
Yep. And we've been studying Tom O'Brien's book, The Autoimmune Fix. I think you know about
One. He's the wheat guy or gluten guy, right?
Yeah, the gluten guy. Yeah. So we went to my niece's wedding in North Carolina and got to go through the Biltmore House. So I had never been through the Biltmore House. It's the largest house in the United States. It has like 150 bedrooms.
Yeah.
An indoor bowling alley. And it was built in like 1900. It took them 5 years to build it. And so while we were out there, we canoed down the French Broad River. I'll let you guess what the name means, but we canoed down the French Broad River and we took a hike up to Crabtree Falls. And it's really beautiful in Asheville, North Carolina. Have you ever been there?
No, really. And what's it called? The Biltmore?
The Biltmore. The Vanderbilts built it. And it was for their cultural stuff. So they'd go to different countries and bring back art and fashion and display it in the room there. But it's pretty fancy, Patrick, back there.
Yeah. I thought you were describing Camp David after Melania redecorated it. But no, that's great. That's great. Yeah. So, well, Asheville, that's a pretty fun place, isn't it, Asheville?
It is. Incredible. It's very progressive. And the part that was interesting for me physically is that ever since I had that wedding invitation, my niece, Adriana, is the only one who's getting married of all my children and my brother's children. And I started getting atrial fibrillation in the middle of the night.
Really?
It really picked up the week before we left for the wedding. And I would sit up with my M-Wave and write. And basically, the night that I got there to North Carolina, we went to the wedding rehearsal dinner. The atrial fibrillation went away and never came back. It's about the weddings and marriages in the family history. So I guess my tip is
don't get married.
Yeah. Whenever people get married, it activates all the memories of the marriages of the last three generations.
Oh, good. But that should be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. No wonder brides get all nervous and the groom gets nervous right before the wedding. How be doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny.
And it was at the Biltmore Estate.
I'm sorry?
It was at the Biltmore Estate?
Yeah, totally.
Biltmore.
It was just so gorgeous. It's amazing. There's, 80,000 acres?
Whoa. Yeah, there's 80,000 acres now. It used to be 175,000, but they had to cut back.
80,000?
And so Meridian and I have taken to renting electric bicycles when we go on vacation because it's a nice way to see things if they have good bike paths. So the Biltmore Estate and that 80,000 acres, they have some bike trails. So we're renting this and we're going up this hill and we're passing all these people and they're going, whoa, look at that couple go up that hill. Cause we don't even look like we're working hard. Right. Rent an electric bicycle and you can astound the crowd.
Astound the crowd. That's right.
But he had to tell them the truth.
Yeah.
He told them. And then I did the most graceful thing.
we stopped there at the top of the hill and sitting there next to Meridian, and I'm thinking, you know, it looks like she's kind of leaning the bike over. I wonder what, and she kept leaning and leaning, leaning. She fell right over. And
that was on it, though. I was actually pedaling.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't just sitting still.
So Meridian fell over, and all the people came running up to see if she was okay. But the grass and stuff is so thick there in Asheville. She says like falling on a down
pillow.
Yeah.
It's just soft. I didn't get hurt at all. No black and blue marks, anything. I just kind of look like one of those Ruth Buzzy things where you just kind of
fall over. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Stephen Huer, you know, I think he lives somewhere near there, and he talks about it, and he really likes that area. You know, it's kind of an Austin place, right? Kind of an Austin.
Yes.
Really progressive. A lot of
alternative health stuff there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Young feeling, real creative, artsy.
Yeah. Is the town very big? Like Austin?
Green.
No, it's not big like Austin.
Mm-hmm. No, it was more like Austin was in the early 70s, you know, late 60s.
Yeah, yeah. I know Peter Ragnar used to live up in the Smoky Mountains up there near Asheville. Yeah, I bet you that would be fun to live up in the mountains, huh?
Well, Asheville is like that.
I mean, the whole
town is in the Smoky Mountains.
Oh, it is.
Absolutely gorgeous. Really? I mean,
What kind of weather do they have there? It's pretty nice.
I think they have four seasons.
Do they?
Yeah. The summer's pretty hot, and they get a lot of snow in the winter, I think. And I bet the leaves are really pretty in the autumn. Yeah, I'd love to see that.
Yeah. Well,
I've been there.
We should go visit sometime. Richard Massey and Meridian Grace are here. So if you have a question about your health, we do talk about that a little bit, not too much. Mostly just talk about other stuff. Dr. Richard Massey, he is an MD, and he's been at this a very long time. He works with people out of Austin doing blood work and recall healing stuff. Meridian, his partner, she has been, doing so many things for so many years. Meridian, you have all these, and you keep going, right? I really appreciate that about you. Your ongoing study of health and healing and... you go to these workshops around the world, really, just crazy stuff, just crazy. So good for you. I mean, you just keep on looking, right? Good ideas.
Well, I love it all. It's just so fascinating to me. Our human bodies are so extraordinary. And putting together the more esoteric aspects of it, I listen to Tom Cowan quite a bit. He goes into the anthroposophical things and the energetic stuff, how it all kind of lines up with what's going on with our bodies. And it's fascinating to look at, in particular for me, lifestyle, diet, you know, the being out in the sun, just the most basic things seem to affect almost everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Meridian has a little color in her skin now. And, she also got me listening to Victor Schauberger.
Oh, he's amazing.
Victor, he's got it going on, doesn't he?
I know you have a vortex thing for your water. And, you know, it's fascinating to me watching the documentaries that this guy was a fifth generation forest ranger, or whatever they call him. And he just watched trees and water and animals. And he actually observed that when fish eagles would circle over some water, that they would come down in a vortex pattern, and the water back then was so clean he could see the fish rising to the top in a complementary vortex.
Whoa.
And they would meet at the surface, and the fish would actually come out of the water into the claws of the fish eagle. The fish eagle didn't have to stick its claws into the water and pull the fish up.
It's amazing.
They met there. And the other thing he discovered is there's vortexes in a stream for trout and salmon that actually pull them upstream. They don't swim really hard upstream like I was taught. They get sucked forward. And he actually apparently had flying saucers in the 40s that actually are documented to have worked. And he figured out a pattern that would create a vortex in the air ahead of the flying saucer and would suck it forward rather than push it forward from behind. it's just, and it looks really simple when they put the diagrams up there. It's like, my goodness, this guy was just observing nature.
Yeah. Doc and Mooney, Daniel Vitalis and David Wolf have talked about for years, if you can find some land that have a spring and it vortexes up, right, because of its energy and its cold temperature too. So it goes like this, and it comes out of the ground, and that's what kind of pulls it. It's kind of like similar to Meridian to Cowan, and the way the blood goes up too, right, with the whole, and the sap in the tree. It's all probably the same model.
Going up.
And the heart, actually, if you watch it in an open chest, like during surgery, it doesn't just beat like a pump-like action. It actually has a twist to it. It's actually vortexing the blood.
Vortex.
And he talked about the fourth stage.
Yes, it's putting a spin on it. Huh. It's putting a spin on the blood. It's pretty fascinating.
Wow. The heart is not a pump. What a great saying that but it's been around, that whole concept, right, for a very long time.
Those are Rudolf Steiner's words.
Those are Steiner's words, the hardest. Oh, I didn't realize that. Oh.
Yeah. So, a lot of people have been looking, well, what did he mean by that?
Uh-huh.
You know, because he left it for people to explore that. And then they found all these wild things that he was saying were all true.
Yeah. Well, Cowan kind of blew the doors off it, didn't he, with his work?
He sure did.
Have you all tried any of his dehydrated powders? They're amazing. What's that?
Yeah, they are. We tried them at your house.
Oh, yeah. So he's got some things that vegetables like you've never heard about. You know, it's like, where do you get these things? And they smell they smell great. And I've been putting them on everything. You know, every time I cook anything, sprinkle them on, even a baked potato or some eggs, just scrambled eggs. You know, you could put some in there. He's got this powdered turmeric that's like, and you can just get that stuff in there, or you can put them in smoothies, of course. But it's all these different minerals and energies you're getting from these heirloom vegetables that nobody eats that, right? We eat about, 10 vegetables? Broccoli, squash, this is what we all eat. So it's really great, too. And Meridian, he's doing these vegetables with biodynamic techniques, a la Steiner, and really high quality. And then they're dehydrating them at a very, very low temperature. So they have all the goodness in there, and they have beet and chard and really fun stuff to get more of these vegetables in your food.
And the special glass that he stores it in too, so you don't lose
the Myron glass. They're really nice. Yeah.
But I'm just wondering, has he started doing more of the wild plants too, or is he still just doing the primary vegetables?
No, I think he did a wild one that I bought, and it was really kind of expensive, but it has the most amazing smell of any vegetable I've ever smelled. And it's kind of like you do it and you say, man, I want some of that, you know? I'll get the name of it. I'm going to go to his website right now. Just really cool stuff. They're kind of pricey, but they're in Myron glass, and you don't need a great deal, right? Now he's got a new one here, the Fiddle's Head Fern.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. And
I used to gather those when I was backpacking.
Yeah, see, I mean, we wouldn't do this stuff unless you really get crazy, you know. Horseradish, a carrot powder, Swiss chard. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get a bunch of these and just add these things into your kids' and your own smoothies. A leek salt. Boy, that's kind of fun.
Does he have miner's lettuce?
I'm sorry?
Does he have miner's lettuce?
Miner's lettuce? No, I don't think so. I've not seen that one. Okay. Not seen that one.
All these things grow in California where he is, and oh god, that was one of my favorites. Whenever I found it was like a real treat.
During the next break, I'll go down and get the one that I really am all head over feet over, but I can't he runs out a lot, so in other words, these things are so he's not making like a gabillion pounds of them or anything like that. And he's got shaga nuggets, carrot powder, and stuff like that. Really cool. We have a link on our website. Scroll all the way down to the bottom, close to the bottom, at Dr. Cowan's, and you can order some of these. They're real fun. And just get
great.
David Wolf did a thing one time. there's this huge, huge study about the vegetables that people eat, you know, and you wouldn't believe this, that most people eat about 4 vegetables their whole life.
I would believe
that. You know, you believe that, right? And that's what they do, you know, just eat the same ones, you know. And
my parents ate and how I grew
up. Well, yeah, I think, and most of them are on a good burger.
Yeah.
You've got your pickle and you've got your ketchup.
That's
and,
right. You got your vegetables there. You got your pickle. You got your ketchup. You got your mustard.
You mustard. Yeah. You got your mustard.
Hey, did you hear about Carl's Jr.? Good for Carl's Jr. Shout out to these guys.
Okay, good.
Yeah, grass-fed, no antibiotic, no hormone meat, fresh, available Carl's Jr., grass-fed beef.
Wow,
that's
nice.
That's pretty wild.
Is that pretty cool? Good for them.
Yeah.
I love them. So did you see the thing in California about the glyphosates?
No.
You didn't? Oh.
What's happening?
Well, let me...
Something was different.
Very good. No, California, as wacko as they are, every now and then they do something good. The whole state, beginning July 7th, has declared glyphosate Roundup a cancer-causing agent. No fooling, no kidding, for real, this is it. Boom. The fifth largest economy calling out glyphosate Roundup as a cancer-causing agent. And this... of course, Monsanto is lowering, how do you say it? Lowering up. And they're going to fight it. They're going to fight it. Yeah. But if they prevail with this, which, you know, they have a lot of people out there, like the Stephanie Seneffs of the world and all that, you know, with the science, this will be a real body blow to GMOs. As you know, the World Health Organization 2 years ago said the same thing. They did this stuff, you know, and which was a big deal. And Monsanto, you know, they...
I guess, big deal.
Yeah. So
numerous that won't allow GMO to anything.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So this is a cool thing. So good for California for doing that. And I'd like to know the whole story behind it, of who was behind it and how long it took them to figure this out. And I want to do some research and get somebody on the show. But yeah, it was a big story. I guess 3-4 days ago it came out. So isn't that cool? God, that's great.
Yes,
The Weston A. Price Foundation.
What's that?
Look to the Weston A. Price Foundation. They'll be able to answer those questions for you. I bet you they're behind it because they spearheaded the first big fight against it about 5, 6, 7 years ago. And I was there when they were all so dejected because they lost by a very short margin to get GMOs out of California. And what happened is in the last moment, they spearheaded this huge campaign,
California, the one they lost.
So I'm almost positive. I mean, they people have never stopped fighting the GMO thing. And we have an amazing lawyer here in Austin who is the primary lawyer for the Weston A. Price Foundation. She'll be able to tell you what's going on.
Well, if they're behind it, I'll go to their website and see.
I bet she
is. Yeah. The highest court in European Union made a groundbreaking ruling that could finally find relief for families who are hurt by vaccines. They have ruled that people who are injured with vaccines can sue. Whoa. Man, is the wheels coming off of some of this stuff? Swedish Parliament recently ruled against enforcing the mandatory vaccines for the citizens, as it would be a violation of the country's constitution. So there's some stuff going on, man. People are, you know, they're on the scent, huh?
Yep.
Yes.
So that's in Sweden, not the United States.
That's
correct?
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know what it would take for, I guess it would maybe have to go to the Supreme Court to overrule the blanket immunity they've given the vaccine people during the Obama years. I don't know when it was, but they did it. So whoever they are, Doug and Mel. So I don't know if you'd have to take it to the Supreme Court or not. So, but we'll see. Richard Massey, I'm Rudy and Grace are here. Here's our phone number. Care to join us? 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Speaking of Peter Ragnar, here's a little thing that a clip we did from a show with him and one of our favorite products. Previously with Peter Ragnar, who's a great example of staying young and healthy, we asked him what kinds of things he takes.
personally, for myself, I look at all of the supplements that help bolster and harmonize my hormones. And, you know, this is both for men and for women. And when you go online, there's so much information about that out there. I heard on one of your advertisements there, Patrick, about the pine pollen. I personally take pine pollen, which I think it's an amazing product, has an amazing effect upon the body.
Peter, it's one of our favorites, too. Pine pollen, any of these are Thrival links. You have the pine pollen pure potency, pine pollen gold, and if you'd like to get it every month, the auto ship is the best price. Also, Stephen Buhner's book, exclusively on pine pollen, is right there on the site too, Daniel's site, right here on OneRadioNetwork.com. One of our faves, it's a good one. It really is a good one. If you'd like to try ourselves or people have a very good experience with this product, it's been said by people on the show, real docs, you know, not like me, because I'm not a doctor, is that Selfra has a love affair with heavy metals. Stephanie, who we just mentioned with the Roundup thing, she has explained to us in many shows. We have about 4 shows with her, and we're going to get her back on again. I emailed her with the clip or the link to that story when it broke a few days ago to get a response. I haven't heard back from her. But anyway, she talks about how the Selfra cycle gets all cattywampus when you eat GMO foods, because as you know, the GMO thing, the Roundup thing, the glyphosate thing, it's all one package. That's the whole point, you know, where Monsanto figured out not only could they, whatever, sell the seeds and all that and claim to increase production and all that, which is not true, but then they have to have more Roundup with the glyphosates in there because it just, the more you use it, the more you have to use it. And it was quite a clever idea, you know. Roundup use has gone up dramatically, so it's a big deal. But anyway, the sulfur cycle gets messed up when we eat GMO foods, and gosh, you'd probably would have to live in a plastic bag or in Dr. Massey's Prius to not be exposed to GMO foods. Oh, but actually, I think that donut was that you had there from last year, it was a GMO donut, so you could get a GMO. I guess we must all, y'all, as I'm talking about the sulfur, I guess we'd all get exposed to some GMO stuff somewhere along the line. Be pretty difficult not to, I guess, unless, well, I don't know, if you don't eat out, you can probably just do totally orgasmic and not be, you know.
Well, I heard that like 70% of the rain has glyphosate in it, so.
Oh, yeah. Good. Well, thanks impossible. For that. That makes me feel better. Thanks.
It's in the air, you know. Air and in the rain,
yeah, yeah.
You know, we ought to have some parody of Gene Kelly dancing in the GMO rain.
That's right.
Singing in the rain, you know, we change the name. Disintegrating in the rain or something like that.
Singing in the rain. So if you'd like to get some sulfur, please just to click on the sulfur ad and order some up. If you want more than 4 pounds, just email me, Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. You guys, I'm all gaga over my new pressure cooker. It's really cool. We had a fellow on the show, a Dr. Gundry, heart surgeon. He's done about 10,000 heart surgeries. 10,000. So about 15 years ago, he kind of figured out that, okay, there's got to be a better way than cutting people open and doing this thing, you know. So pretty cool guy, and he just started really looking to the diet, and he says that we can, you know, of course, not have heart stuff just by lifestyle, duh, and good for him. So he just works with people now. He doesn't cut people open anymore, and so he was he's kind of a big thing on these lectins, you know, these lectins, and. So we have renamed them to lechins because it sounds better, you know. Don't you think lechins? It's got this ring to it, you know, like they're bad or something. Now, I don't know if it's true, the lectin thing. You can give your opinion if you want to, but I think Diodama was the first one to talk about this. But evidently, a lot of foods have lectins. And Dr. David Jubb, we go way back with Dr. Jubb, 8 years, and he would always talk about these undigestible proteins, which were the lechins, you know, when you eat grains and stuff like that. Well, according to Gundry, when you soak your grains or your beans or whatever, and then you pressure cook them, it gets rid of all the lechins.
Well, that's interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
I mean, I've heard different things about that. I've been told that the very, very best way, instead of fast cooking, is really slow cooking and soaking your beans for as much as 2 days, particularly in salt water or in a little bit of vinegar, to help break down those outer walls on them. But, you know, who knows who's right? There's so much information out there.
Yeah. Well, good luck with the 2 days and the slow cook thing. And, you know, but anyway, these are cool. In our store, there's a thing called Instapot, and it's really cool. It's $79, and you could get a little digital thing. And I did soak some jasmine rice and mung dal organic, and it takes mm-hmm. it takes like 10 minutes. And it's really difficult to imagine that this product that comes out is undigestible. It's so, wow, it's just so smooth. And it's like you'd say, well, if somebody was really sick, you know, or a little baby, you could feed this to. It was really went down nice. And another great idea with the pot, when you do everything in a pot, you can do potatoes and carrots and beets and stuff like that. And one of my Ayurvedic teachers years ago, I always liked this, you guys, he said, well, it's good to cook things in one pot, because you put them in there and they work out their differences among themselves before they get into your stomach.
That's great.
Isn't that precious? And let them work things out in there and then eat them, you know.
There's a lot of gourmet cooks who talk about how great Instapots are.
Yeah. So these are fun. If you'd like to try one, you can go in our store, Instapot, and it's, I think, $79. And you can do yogurts in them. You can do beans. You can do rice. You can do all kinds of stuff. Baked potato. You can do potatoes. It's really, and you can feel that it seems like it's a really very digestible.
We are listener supported. One Radio Network. Is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
I had to go down and get my Peace, Love, and Hippie beads and put some on after hearing that song. That sweet song, isn't that great? I don't know where I found that one. You're greater than you, yeah.
Wow. So quite great songs for you. Are you finding these, or
you know, I find a lot of them at the end of different movies that I watch.
Okay.
Yeah, you know how they play some really cool songs at the end of a movie? And then,
yes.
Then I'll write it down, and then I'll go on Amazon and buy it for 99 cents.
Aww.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's for that. It's quite beautiful.
Yeah, it's really really kind of sweet. I find those. And see, speaking of that, what do you guys think about Amazon gobbling up Whole Foods Market?
Oh, my God, you're kidding.
Oh, come on. What do you guys live in, a cave?
We do. We just do. Don't.
You don't know about that?
No.
Oh, really? Sorry, I didn't mean to. No. No disrespect, but that was a big story a week ago. Amazon bought Whole Foods $13.7 billion.
Oh, my God.
My goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. John Mackey's going to remain a CEO. And John's a good business guy. So I think I just got to trust he knows what he's doing. You know, I think they want to have a bunch more stores. And that's a good thing for organics, right? Bunch more stores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe international too.
Well, they already are, Meridian. They've got them in Europe now. I don't know how many, but they'll probably be all over. Yeah, Amazon has more money than, you know, Moses, so they got a lot of bananas. And
all right.
Yeah. So we'll see. And Whole Foods is due, if I believe I'm correct, next year. That they put this program in, they've been working for, that all GMO foods will be labeled as such in Whole Foods after.
Yay.
Yeah, that's a big deal, too.
It's huge.
Yeah, I know. It's huger than huge. So, you know, it's pretty cool. You know, things are popping. And God bless John. You know, I've known him for, I don't know, it's the early 80s. And 1978, he and his girlfriend started a little store called Safer Way. Safer Way, isn't that great? Little hippie guy, and here you are 40 years later, and somebody gives you $14 billion for a company. Wow.
I remember their tiny little first store on Lamar.
Yeah.
It's now CD store.
Yeah, CD store. That was their first store, that's right. Yeah, I worked at that store, Marty.
You did?
I was a checker.
I used to go juices there.
Oh, you were a checker.
I was a checker, and yeah, I was. That's right before I started my salsa company. I wanted to learn a little bit about the food business because I had this salsa recipe. So I just went to work for Whole Foods.
How about that? You were not a chubby checker, though.
I was not a chubby checker. Well, I like it. I like it. It's like, let's twist again, like we did last summer. Good. I was a checker there, and it was a great little store, wasn't it, Meridian? Tell folks about the store. It was like really precious, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it had a tiny little juice bar, and people would come in for smoothies. That's cute.
Smoothies,
and I think lots of little sandwiches and fresh juices, and sit around with their hippie beads and flowers on their hair, and it was really sweet.
Really sweet
store. Store.
Yeah, tiny store. I think it was like, if I remember, about 5,000, 6,000 square feet. And there was first one in Austin. But what was fun about it, Meridian, was it that everybody, you always met everybody that you knew there, right? I mean, you just went there. I mean, you had to go every day just to meet all your friends, you know?
Yeah.
It was great. Yeah, really, really fun. So good for John Mackey.
Yeah, I think that's a big key for healing now that you bring that up, Patrick.
What's that?
You know, a lot of the chelation clinics, I've speculated over the years, and I used to have a big IV clinic. I think a lot of the healing happens because people meet there every week for their 3-hour chelation IV or vitamin mineral IV, and they get to see all the people they know. And there's something about that that's very healing, that community.
Sure. Yeah.
Telling stories.
Yeah.
Keep on each other's kids.
Well, maybe the same thing goes on too, like the different groups that get together, you know, for drugs and alcohol and stuff like that. I'm sure that would be very healing. No, I'm being cereal. I'm being gluten-free cereal. Don't you think? People go and meet and talk to each other, and
it always happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever you're into, be it the Sierra Club and hiking, or going and birding, or going and drinking.
Going drinking.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I finally came to be able to say after years of watching blood dry is that everyone is healing all the time. It took me years to say that because my training was to notice just the opposite.
Right. Yeah.
But it's interesting that people don't die from illnesses. It's very rare that somebody dies of an actual illness. People die from healing faster than they have the resources to support. So the beauty of the pharmaceutical industry and the beauty of all the collective...
Whoops. We just lost them. Maybe they lost their internet. Cause ours are good. Let's redial.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Are you there, Patrick?
No.
You're not?
I wonder what happened there.
It was me.
Oh, it was you.
Yeah.
Hi.
I was multitasking.
Where
doing something.
You? Where?
She was trying to dust the computer keys.
Girls do that kind of stuff, which I'm glad, because guys don't dust. So this is good.
Yes.
So, Doc, you were saying that a lot of people die when they're healing, right? When they're healing.
Pretty much when people die, it's because they're healing faster than they have the resources to support. So we have two choices. We can either support the healing or slow it down. And all medications slow down healing. That's what they're designed to do. I remember the first time I saw that in the New England Journal of Medicine back in 1998, they were doing an article about Advil and that whole class of drugs. And it turns out the part that shocked me is that when people take it for joint pain, it helps them have less pain in their joints, but their joints degenerate faster. It's like it poisons the ability of the cartilage to regrow itself.
Wow.
So the pain is actually when the cartilage is regrowing itself and trying to regrow itself. And so if we take a medicine for that pain, we stop the cartilage from being able to repair itself.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So give us another example of how, just a common example of how somebody, the healing could actually...
Okay, so
how you wouldn't be prepared, for everything to heal.
Sure. So all heart attacks are the healing part of that whole cascade. It's when the arteries close down halfway to heal themselves after the person has quit fighting for territory or has lost their territory or has won their territory. But the disease part actually happens when the person's eating away the inner lining of the arteries to get more blood flow, to open the diameter of the arteries while they're fighting for their territory. But that has absolutely no pain and no symptoms to it. It's when the fight is over and the arteries shut down for repair and the person needs to rest for 2 weeks, but they don't know that. So they continue their usual activities and they die of a heart attack within a couple of weeks of the territory fight being resolved.
Wow.
So that's a big one. And, Dr. Hammer's dog experiments, I think I told about those. You know, you can clamp an artery off and 100% block it, and none of the dogs get heart attacks. But if you make them watch another dog take over their territory, you can reliably kill that dog with a fatal heart attack. And just a simple one like fever. So when we get fever, that's the body healing very rapidly. It's speeding up all the enzymes in there. But it feels uncomfortable. So when we take an aspirin or a Tylenol to decrease the fever, it actually slows the rate of healing. Now, that can be smart sometimes if the fever is 105 or 106. You don't want to let that just fry your brain or anything. But the whole concept that I learned is backwards of that. I was taught that people got this thing called an illness or a disease, that it was terrible, that it killed people. We had to stamp it out. And the truth is, the body's always healing. sometimes it heals too fast for the resources I have. And so instead of choosing to dumb down the healing with the medication, we can actually support the healing. Then the body can heal fast and be done with it.
Right. Yeah. Go ahead, Maureen. Yeah.
I was just going to say the inflammatory aspects of it are no fun. You know, they don't feel good, but they are actually the healing.
Sure. Yeah.
And there's been a lot of studies that have shown that the people who actually die from the flu are the people who, at first sign of the flu, ended up taking something that would stop their fever. Because the fever is how the body heals itself.
Sure, yeah. And I agree with you, Doc. Everything that I'm seeing on the inner, working on my book and this experiment I'm doing with my body, there's no doubt that I believe you're accurate there. Is in the present moment, the body's always, always trying to make balance.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
That's what it does for a living. I mean, that's what it does. It's programmed to do that. It wants to stay alive. Every cell wants to stay alive. Every bug wants to stay alive, right? There, everybody's in there mixing it up, and in its infinite wisdom to stay alive. And I think that harkens to, I think, to something that my Ayurvedic doc has talked about, and I think he's really on to it, and a lot of us in the natural field should pay attention to this, is that the body and its infinite wisdom, according to him, and I believe it, I've found it in my life, knows what it wants to work on next.
Yes.
It knows.
It knows.
And if we go with that flow, you know, and just see what's next, rather than going on Dr. Google and say, oh, well, I got to fix my kidney because I know I got a kidney problem, you know. I mean, if you really do have a kidney problem, it's fine, you know, do something. But do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
The body knows, just like you were saying with the healing thing. Energetically, it knows what it can do. You know, it knows what it can do. And I know that people, when I got my revision done 8 years ago with Dr. Nunley, man, I felt really rotten for 6 months, off and on. Mm. My body was, you know, recalibrating. You know, my immune system, I guess, was going after stuff that it couldn't deal with before. And
right.
So I went through this healing stuff, not every day, but boy, there were days when I felt like, man, a truck hit me. But then when you come out of that, it's like, whoa, you know, a whole new body, really.
And, yes.
I love one of the questions that Tom Cowan says oftentimes. Mm-hmm. He'll say, when you have a splinter and it's filled with pus, he'll say, is the pus the illness, or is the pus the healing process? Is it the therapy? He said, if you stop that pus, then what happens is it'll make a hardening on top of the splinter to try and protect it, which creates tumors.
Oh.
But the pus itself is the therapy to push the splinter out. That's what the body's doing.
Sure.
And we can fuse the illness with the therapy. Our bodies are really smart and they know what they're doing. So if we can support the process that's happening by perhaps producing more heat there, so it'll encourage the pus to move further, to use sulfur, for instance. You know, there's a sulfur realm of the body, which is the whole digestive realm. He talks about the head as being the salt realm. Anyway, it's really fascinating. He's got it in some of his books that he's written. To go in and really explain how our bodies are doing these things as a way of balancing the 3, 7, or 12 realms of the body. And he talks about each one.
Yeah, and even when you go out and get an owie, you know, on your foot or something like that, some kind of a cut or some kind of an injury, and you can just watch it. And it's pretty miraculous what it knows. It just knows what to do. And, you know, it goes through these different stages, and then eventually it does a little scab thing, and that falls off, and boom.
Yeah, you're healed.
You're healed. You're done. You're healed. Richard Massey, Meridian Grace, you're here. It's June 29. If you'd like, sorry, you were on hold and kind of got bored with waiting, so call back 888-663-6386 or use the email patrick@runoneradionetwork.com. We We talked to Harvey Beagleson again. You know Harvey Beagleson.
Hey.
He is such a, he's really a trip. He's great. You should listen to the show. He's really good. And I think Harvey's, I don't know. And so he does the holographic blood thing, you know, takes the blood. So he sent me a slide, and I think I'm gonna do it today. And you have to overnight it. He's got to get it within 20. Have you ever done it, Meridian? With Harvey?
I have. You should do it. And watch him work with people.
So much fun. If you go to his website, you can see where he can see if a woman is pregnant by looking at their blood. He can see they've got spine issues and where they're exactly, and all kinds of crazy stuff. He did mine years ago, I think 4 or 5 years ago when we had him on the show, and he said I was really in good shape. I just had some circulation. I should be careful of circulation. That's about all he said. So I'm going to see. It'd be fun to see. And he sent me two of them. I'm going to email him, see if I can do doodles.
That's great.
Think he does
is
dogs?
Is he teaching again or no?
Yeah, they're just teaching. That's what they're doing now. They're just teaching.
Oh, good.
He's kind of cleared his government karma with all that. You know, he's had quite his story with all that stuff. And
yeah.
But he's real fun. And so we're gonna do that. And if you guys would like to go to Beagleson Academy, something like that, or Google it, you can do that. It's not very expensive. And he can tell you a whole lot of things just by looking at your blood. Okay, 888-663-6386. Dear Patrick, we love frankincense essential oil. Can you please ask Dr. Massey and Meridian if they use or apply it in their day for personal use or with clients, and what their favorite uses of frankincense are, just off the top of their headies?
Well, I've used it a lot with cancer, and I've used it internally, I've used it externally, I've used it in the room. The smell of it is so precious. I love it personally. I love to just take a drop and put it on my wrists or, you know, the bottom of my feet or wherever I might have an owie somewhere. I love frankincense. I love myrrh. I can't say that I use it a whole lot. I'm just reminded of it every now and again. And, I know it has been beneficial for wounds and for infections and to prevent other people in the family from getting infections. So you can put it in, you know, a room nebulizer sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've done with it. I'm sure there's a lot of people that know a lot more. Myrrh has been used a lot in the teeth, you know, for mouth.
Yeah, let's see. Living Libations lady. Yeah, Nadine, she puts it in a lot of her formulas, Meridian, for the face. And I put it on my face too. She said it's really one of the best essential oils for your face too. You can put it on there.
Oh, that's great.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, I love the smell of it.
Oh,
just
man,
it.
Yeah, it's really great.
It's okay. One of my favorite essential oils.
And also, so Doc, you have a favorite one you use? Or you're that Old Spice kind of guy is what you do.
Yeah.
It splashes on Old Spice, you know, we're done. Okay.
That's right. That's really what they took to baby Jesus, but they can't tell
that's,
it that
that's
way.
Right. They said it was they frankincense and myrrh, you know, that was just a big lie. No, it was really Old Spice. Okay, on the phone, on the phone, who's this? Good morning. Okay. Okay, they're hello. Hello.
Yes, hi.
Hi. Can you turn down your computer, please?
Oh, okay. I'll just move away from it. Okay, I just discovered yours for the first time.
Oh, good.
Somebody recommended it yesterday to me.
Oh.
And I had a question to ask. Is it Dr. Massey?
Dr. Massey?
Is there a time that is reserved for asking questions?
Right now, you're on the air.
I'm on the air?
Yes, you are. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Fort Worth, Texas.
Uh-huh. And what's your first name?
Montaz.
Montaz?
Yes.
That's a nice name. Yeah, Dr. Massey and Meridian Grace are here. They're both healthcare people. What's your question, dear?
My question was about 7 years ago, I started to have arrhythmias, you know, palpitations, and of course they were running me around to cardiologists and all that, and they put monitors on me. And I ended up with a pacemaker very reluctantly. Now I have it, and I want to get rid of it. So I want to know if anybody has ever got rid of a pacemaker, because this has made me sicker than ever.
Oh, God love you. Doc, have you known of anybody? I'm sure it's possible. You just have to be careful, I guess, huh?
Yeah, you know, I honestly don't have an answer for that, and I wish I did. You know, my thought is I would call Tom Cowan's office. He does so much stuff that's holistic and with the heart, and I would see if he could refer you to somebody who could give you a real answer. And I'm sure there's a natural way to help the arrhythmia and palpitations resolve.
They scared the life out of me that I would drop dead in the night and all this. They scared the life out of me.
I bet they did.
Otherwise, I tried to do things naturally, and I'm just shocked that I even agreed, but because they frightened me so much.
Sure, sure.
That,
There's a doctor called Thomas Cowan, C-O-W-A-N, Dr.
Yes.
Thomas Cowan. He really knows a lot about the heart, and okay. You could call his, just Google him, and you could call his office and maybe set up a consultation with him. That's what I would do, I think, like if you were just my friend and called in like you are. I think that's a good idea. And
I'll do that, because I didn't know where to start.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere,
right?
I've
been sicker than ever. I've never been this ill since this darn thing is in my chest.
Really? How long has it been?
It's about 7 years. It took about 4 years for it to settle. I was just in and out of doctor's offices.
Oh. Well, whatever can be done, undone can be done, can be undone, I would suspect.
So. I hope so.
Well, I hope that that's helpful. That's our best advice right now.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
I've never heard of any. I guess you could do it, right? Why not? Take it out and fix it. You have to be careful, I guess. I don't know what that would take. But. Okay. Okay. Hold my mouse. A woman, 39, no children, keeps having first trimester miscarriages. Any idea why this could be? Some natural approaches might help. Okay. First trimester just keeps, the baby keeps saying, nope, I'm out of here. Nope, I'm out of here. The fetus. You guys have some ideas about that?
Yeah, I do. But, it, you know, that's a pretty sensitive topic. So I kind of want to be careful. You know, I know some physical things, and there are some things in the recall healing and total biology world. But it might sound insensitive just throwing out a big list.
Right. Yeah, I understand.
So I'd rather have the person contact me or somebody else and chat in private about that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that happens with that, Patrick. You know, for whatever reason, I get to meet a lot of folks who were born after a miscarriage.
Uh-huh.
And it has a tremendous effect on a person's life to be born after a miscarriage. And for me, that's a bigger issue, because the person sounds like they want to continue trying to have a child, and finding a way to emotionally clear the miscarriages of the past could be an important contributor to why they continue to happen. So I would look at that. One lady I knew, it seemed to be about mercury toxicity. And when she got her mercury levels down, she had a baby stay. Some people, it's about low progesterone. And if they get progesterone support, it makes a difference. But those are just some quick ideas of reversible things. But it's an important kind of topic for a family.
Sure.
Because each of those pregnancies counts in the conception order. So, you know, if you're out there doing this, as difficult as it is, I would put that on a timeline, like which pregnancy that was for you, what month and year it occurred, if you can remember. And that'll be important for nieces and nephews, for future children, for great nieces and great nephews. All of that's vital. I'm working with a woman now who's Russian, and she started getting lumps in her breast after she got married. And she's actually in the conception order with someone in her family that had 18 children. And 13 of them did not reach adulthood, which creates that urge toward the brain trying to make a super breast that could nurture all these children from the past generations and keep them alive.
Wow.
So all pregnancies count. They're all vital in a family. I would keep a record of it. And if you'd like to call and chat about it, I'd be happy to visit with somebody, or go to recallhealing.com and find someone else who does that. And also look for a holistic OB-GYN doctor.
Yeah.
Go to the International Integrative Medicine Groups and the American College for the Advancement of Medicine and the Association of Naturopathic Physicians, and find somebody who does obstetrics and ask them about holistic approaches to that.
There's some really very foundational things that can make a huge difference, like looking at foods that one might be sensitive to, allergic patterns that might be contributing to an autoimmune response. And one of the things I've seen so many times, it's been many years since I did a lot of this, but homeopathy can be profound for helping people to get pregnant again. So, I mean, looking at diet and homeopathy can really make a huge difference, making sure in particular that there's enough really good, high-quality fats and nutrients from, you know, lots of greens and vegetables and enough protein can make a very, very big difference. And if there's a lot of toxicity in the mouth from heavy metals, that can contribute to a big problem. As can, you know, too many vaccinations and things of that nature. So you want somebody to look at what the bigger picture is. But I've seen homeopathy do the trick so many times, no matter what was going on.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that little soul is going to keep trying, so you'll probably have some success. Keep saying, well, come on, do another body. I'll try this one. Come on, man.